Hey ballers, it's December and I've got an early Christmas present for you. So excited! Hey. Hello, Lindsay here. Welcome to Thundercast, where it's beginning to look a lot like netball's biggest pre-season event. That's right, the Rise Again Festival is back. After proving an overwhelming success last year, it's bigger, it's better, and it's back for 2021. On Saturday the 11th and Sunday the 12th of December, the eyes of the netball world turn to Thunder's home stadium of Bellevue in Manchester for this massive netball curtain raiser ahead of the 2022 Super League season. I actually cannot wait. I am so, so excited about this. All 11 franchises are taking part, along with two elite men's teams, Knights Men's Netball and Northwest Spartans. And this year, not only can you stream it straight to your living room, but you can also come and watch it live. That's right, crowds are back in the flesh, in actual 3D. And a limited number of tickets are still available, so head to the Rise Again website to get yours. I'm presenting on the day, so I would love to see you there. Now, it's the perfect opportunity to get your snoop on and see how the squads are shaping up ahead of the new season. Karen Gregg's going to be there, Tracy Neville's going to be there, catch a glimpse of former Australian Diamonds head coach Lisa Alexander, who'll be there with her side London Pulse. And obviously, you'll get to see your favourite players, the likes of, you know, Natalie Haythornthwaite, who's back with Thunder for 2022, Jade Clark, who returns to Rhinos, and the one and only Kerry Armand, who's right here with me on the pod. Kerry, welcome back to Thundercast and to the squad for 2022.
Yeah, you just can't get rid of me.
Yeah, you tried to retire, didn't you? But that totally didn't work out.
Yeah, and there were some awful rumours going around this year that I retired again. I've had lots of those questions this weekend, but I don't know where they've come from because I never said that.
It's just rumour. But also this year, for the first time, two elite men's teams are taking part, which I mentioned already. And I'm delighted to say that joining us from Knights Men's Netball is Managing Director and player Lewis Keeling. Lewis, what a treat to have you on the pod. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. You feeling all right?
Yeah, a bit tired. I mean, it's been a big weekend. So, you know, we'll see how we go.
So your team have been playing against the England development squad, right?
Yeah, we were very lucky to be invited to be a curtain raiser for the England versus Jamaica last game of the Test Series. So we got to play against the England development team, which are a fantastic group of athletes. You know, the future of Roses is in good hands, I think. But the day before that, we were down in Bath for a tri tournament with the remainder of the Bath squad, who did a fantastic job considering they lost pretty much all their starting seven to England and the internationals, and Celtic Dragons as well.
We might talk a little bit more about those performances, but my advice to you through this podcast is, you know, just keep stretching. Keep stretching those muscles out, okay? It's going to get better. Am I right in thinking you two know each other already?
Some good battles, eh, Kerry?
Yeah, we've played against each other a few times, yes. Yeah. Yeah, very. And I believe we might be renewing that rivalry this weekend.
Yeah, if it works out.
I'll try and keep up with him because he's obviously a lot taller than I am. So should be interesting.
Just remind us of your positions because, Kerry, we're very used to you at goalkeeper. Lewis, I think you play goalkeeper as well, but you also play goal shooter.
Well, I'm majority GS. So, yeah, I would expect that if Thunder and Knights are playing each other, then the rivalry will be renewed. Yeah.
I mean, I might get to run on at goal defence. You never know.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I've played a bit there so far. So, yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I will not be playing GA, I can tell you that.
Oh, come on. Let's mix it up. Ah, well, interesting to know that you know each other already. And maybe, you know, some of that rivalry will come out during the podcast. But I think we need to get up to speed a little bit, Kerry, first of all. And I know that you're very close to the organising committee for Rise Again and you're part of the squad. How is the whole festival coming together?
I think from the little snippets that I get to hear in my day job with Netball UK, it seems to be pulling together quite well. Obviously, lots of things have been changing in the last week with this new variant that we've got going on. So I think some of the COVID protocols might be changing slightly from what they were initially, but it's all good. It'll be fine by Saturday.
I think, you know, it's an amazing effort and it's a brilliant thing to do. And the fact that Manchester Thunder had the idea last year, here it is, and it's bigger and it's better this year, all 11 franchises plus two men's teams, is brilliant. But let's get up to speed with the Thunder squad then, because obviously we're hoping to get a sneak peek ahead of the season at all the teams, but it just depends on player availability. You know, who are we hoping to see from the Thunder side?
As far as I'm aware, we've got everyone available, except barring one player, maybe two, because Shireen's not over yet.
So Shireen van der Merwe has come to join Thunder. She was playing in Australia and now she's with Thunder.
Yeah, so she's not over yet. I think we are hoping to get her over before Christmas, but again, with this variant, who knows? So I think we should have everyone. I think, you know, we've got Laura Ellen Natter are back anyway from England, and Joyce is over as well. We have got a couple of youngsters stepping into the squad as well. Some of our training partners, we've got Yomi and Stacey that are coming in. So that'll be a really good opportunity for everyone to see those two guys as well.
And which squads are you looking forward to getting a first look at? You know, who have you cast your eye across so far?
Do you know what I think? I think it's going to be the teams that have got a few newer players. There's a lot of teams that have stuck to fairly similar teams, like, you know, we have. I think it'd be interesting to see London Pulse, because they've got some new faces and they've got some of our old faces in there. And they've got obviously the two Aussies that have come over as well. Dragons as well. They've had a lot of players returning to them. So that should be interesting to see how they all gel together. And then off the back of that, Seven Stars, they've lost quite a few players back to Dragons. I don't think Kat will be over, because I think looking at her Instagram, she's still in Italy somewhere. So she's probably not going to be here. So it'd be interesting to see how they go and whether Lucy Herdman goes back to being a shooter or whether she sticks at being a keeper. Who knows?
Yeah, I thought that might be the case as well.
Come in there, yeah, come in there, Lewis, because you were nodding away when you said, yeah, the Pulse squad is one to watch. And Lucy Herdman, I mean, let's just put her anywhere on the court. What an amazing past five she had.
Well, I was lucky enough to go on the Nets tour in 2016 with Lucy and see her amazing long-range shooting from there. And then the last two Fast Fives tournaments, she's lit it up, really, especially within teams that you may not expect to perform at that level. So, obviously, Bath were differently, but Celtic Dragons in that first season, and they were very close to making that final, weren't they?
They certainly were. And I was actually commentating this weekend with Lisa Alexander, and obviously she's come into that pool setup as well. Mm. So they're definitely going to be one to watch, aren't they?
Absolutely, they've really gone for it on the kind of young players front, and I mean, I think that's obvious from. All the selections in it, but that building of the youth and bringing them through, I think, is something that's like key for Sam, and also with Lisa coming in and running the under 21 squad for them. So yeah, it's really exciting.
And I'm really pleased that you did mention Dragons there, Kerry, because obviously they didn't have a great Super League last year, but I think this team is actually shaping up to be much stronger this year, and you're playing them at Rise Again.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be different for them when they get their internationals back. And they do tend to do it in these cycles, like when it tends to be a Commonwealth Games year, they get all the Wales players back. So hopefully they do improve. Obviously, you know, they lost a couple of their standout players from last year, you know, Amy Clinton going back to Rhinos, and Abby Turrell going up to Sirens as well. But they've also lost some of the top players like Rebecca Robinson. But then they picked up some really good players as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how Radaman fits in to their team and how she works with Georgia Rowe. And then also, you know, seeing how Nia fits back in and how she fits in with their other centre quarters and their defenders. So they're certainly going to be interesting, and it'll be nice to get a handle on them in one of those first games. And it's always a good battle in there between me and Georgia.
Oh, honestly, I cannot wait.
Another really tall shooter that I have to play against.
It's good practice.
We were obviously Pulse TAs last season, training associates, and we got to work with Lefebvre quite a lot. And, you know, she's a fantastic athlete. And, you know, I think within a team like Dragons and that kind of rebuild structure, she could really do some damage. So that's, you know, like Harry said, I think it's really exciting down there.
And in all fairness, Lewis, you know, you've only got Loughborough Lightning, the winners of last year's Super League.
I mean, 9 a.m. game first day, you know, not too shabby, right? So we'll see how that goes.
That's a harsh one to start with.
Straight in there. I cannot wait. Now, Lewis, for those of us who don't know, set the scene a little bit with Knights Men's Netball. You know, how long has it been going? How good are you? What have you competed in before?
I think we started out in 2018. The idea behind it was just that we were playing social level to probably the highest standard we could do for mixed netball. And there really wasn't anywhere to go beyond that for male athletes. A lot of us were involved in the Nets tournaments, because that was kind of the highest accolade a male kind of netballer or one of the netball variations could go from.
And that's where you play in an enclosed area.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a kind of stretch nets that go all the way around the court, and you can pass the ball off the nets or you could bounce off the nets. And instead of thirds, it's in a half court and you can shoot from two pointers from outside the D, et cetera, et cetera. So
it's very difficult to play.
It's so fast. It's such a fast game.
Well, the ball never goes out of play.
Exactly.
So you're just on for the entire time.
I played it once. I was in South Africa on tour with County, actually. And apparently the player that I was playing against was an international South African men's player, and okay. I was like, what? And literally I played 5 minutes and I was dead.
Yeah,
like, I was so tired, it was ridiculous.
Credit where it's due though, Kerry, you had the most amazing season and you're looking super fit, so I actually think you'd be just fine. But let's just dig a little bit deeper into this, and I'm going to ask you a question, Lewis, that you must get asked all the time. What do you say when people say to you why you're playing a girls game?
Well, the first point I would say is that we need to get rid of this stigma of girls' game. I mean, if it's going to be anything, it should be women's sport.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Because it's women's rugby, it's women's cricket, it's women's football, and it should be women's netball, or just netball in general, actually, to be honest. But when I think about netball, I think sport is genderless anyway. But netball, people make the obvious comparisons to basketball, etc. And for netball, for me, is just the ultimate team game. Because of the positions that you're in, because of the structure, and because of the limitations of the positions you're in, you have to use every player on court. And if you don't have those links between every player, and that you have kind of a chink in your armor or a weak link somewhere, it really, really shows, especially as you get towards the higher levels of the game, you know, it really kind of comes through. So, you know, when people ask me that question, or you know, they're people I've made fun previously, they don't tend to anymore, considering all the opportunities we get and what we get to do. But it really doesn't faze me, because I'm just, and a lot of the other players that are around us, because we're just like, well, just come down and give it a go. And then if you still feel the same way afterwards, then that's your opinion and go for it. But if you haven't tried something, then, you know, what's the point, really?
I completely agree. Like I said, I think it's the ultimate team sport, because you can't have a passenger in your team. It's that one game where you can't carry on because it's so obvious if one player's not up to it, or they're not stepping up, or whatever, they're having a bad game. It's so obvious, where in other sports it's not as obvious. So I would agree with that. And I think it's been really interesting, and to be honest, it's been amazing to see the change in attitudes towards the game in the last couple of years particularly. I remember years ago, back when we first started with Thunder, and we had at the time the England men's team in, and Colin Gordon was playing, and there was Colin Hill and Ian Fuller, the umpire, he was playing for them as well. And I think we were one of the very first teams to have those guys in, and it was an eye-opener for us at the time. We weren't great at the time either, but it was an eye-opener for us in terms of the speed of these guys, because obviously men have a very different physiology to women. They're a lot faster, a lot stronger, you know, and they can jump a lot higher. So it really challenges us, and I think that's a great thing to see. And it's been amazing these last couple of years to see the growth of it and the sheer number of teams. Because like Lewis said, when they started in 2018, I think we played against you as one of your early games back at Wright Robinson.
Yeah, it was our first ever sevens game against the Super League team. So it was amazing.
It's all our fault, really. And just to see the sheer number of teams that are coming out now, only 3 years later, it's phenomenal. I mean, it started with them, and then there was one Northern team, I think.
Yeah, Northern Titans.
And then from there, then Spartans have come out, and now there's London Giants, and there's a South East team as well from like Norfolk, I think. I saw one of the old basketballers playing for them as well at the mix.
Yeah, Southwest Hawks started up, and we've got a Northeast men's team starting up, and there's one in Cheshire, and yeah.
It's incredible, and but I think part of that has come from in the last couple of years, we've seen the demographics of the crowd changing. It always used to be, about when I, you know, 10 years ago, it would always be young girls with the mum, and they might have been the reluctant dad. But now there's an awful lot more men. It's something I commented on yesterday, because I was working at Cessos, we were merchandising, and I was actually really surprised with the sheer number of men that were there, and they weren't all there with their daughters. There were some men that had just come along to watch the game, and that's what we need. If we want to see growth in the game, we've got to have that, because you can't just have a game that's marketed to one half of the population. So it's really important. And I think it's fantastic. I really do. I think it's something that it's taken, and this might be controversial, but it's taken England netball far too long to acknowledge it and get to grips with it. New Zealand and Australia have been better. It's taken them far too long. It's great to see it now, but why has it taken so long?
Well, look, let me pick you up on that point, because I agree with that. And I think what you've said about the crowds at netballs is really important. And the idea of, if you can't see it, you can't be it. You know, I've talked to Gary Burgess about being a role model for men in netball. But England Men's and Mixed Netball Association has recently announced a partnership with England Netball, which is absolutely fantastic. And it is the way to grow the sport. But they've been really careful to state that the sport's unique feminine focused foundations have to be protected. And I'll be honest, I also agree with that, because we are in a sporting landscape that is dominated by men. And I'm really proud of the fact that netball's strength lies in the fact that it is unashamedly promoting women, you know, and girls. And it is a sport where, unlike football, unlike cricket, when you think about netball, you think about women first. How do you sit with that, Lewis?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We've never come into the sport wanting to, you know, we always get the odd comment of like, oh, coming in, take over, etc. like that. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to support the sport that we love. You know, we were all fans first, effectively. You know, we love the game, we love nets, and it was an easy progression to get into netball and then start progressing our sevens bit. So, you know, we're fans first, and what can we be fans of? It's the women's element of netball, and it's just such a great game to watch. If you think, you know, Kerry, you were talking about how the physiology, it makes a difference between kind of guys and girls on court. It does, but I mean, like, we've got some pretty decent athletes within Knights, and you know, it's a struggle playing against the SNL teams and the other all the teams that we come up against. You know, it's hard work, and that I think that comes down to the professionalism and how seriously it's taken. I think that's something that isn't probably widely known outside of the netball community about the level of the play and the level of training and the intensity and what's involved in committing to one of these teams. Yeah. when you're an athlete of that level.
Kerry, let me come back to you on this, because, you know, Rise Again is a level playing field, really. You know, it's the country's best males and best females. It's not behind closed doors, which I know many of the male matches have been so far. In fact, it's in front of a live audience, and it's being streamed as well to fans right across the country. So, Kerry, how are you preparing for that? Because you're used to the Super League run-up, but you've just said that you've got to play in a different way. So do you change your smarts? Like, what do you do?
I don't think you do. I think you do approach it in a very similar way. I think what Lewis said there was right. I mean, whilst the physiology is different, I think there's an element at the moment that the skill level is slightly different.
Absolutely,
obviously, yeah. Because a lot of the players that are playing, particularly the younger girls, they've been coming through pathways and they've been in those pathways since they're 13, 14 years old. So they're getting that quality coaching, you know, every 2 or 3 days of their life from being that young to now. Whereas the men haven't had that aspect of it. They haven't had that top quality coaching until the last couple of years. So that level is going to be different. We've never really approached it in any different way when we've come up against the men's team. Like I said, so we've been playing against them for a few years. And we've actually got Spartans coming in this week to train them as well. And we don't approach it in any other way, because it's still about our game and our game plan and how we're going to implement things. So we're still going to do the exact same things as, you know, against Knights as we might put out against Loughborough. If we're thinking about terms of the, you know, tall target shooter, you would do the exact same thing. And it's just about, you might just have to change your physicality slightly, because I would know that if I'm coming up against Lewis, I can, you know, I can be a little bit more physical against that than I would be against somebody else potentially. It's those little tiny things that will change, but game plans in itself won't change at all. Cameron would kill us if it did, to be honest.
Probably easier to push me around than it is Mary, so we'll see about that.
We might test that on Saturday.
Okay, fair enough.
I very much enjoyed watching Lewis's face during that, because, you know, what we all really want to know is, how is he going to prepare to play against you?
I just get all my pads on, you know, and just go on court like that.
Lewis can outjump me, let's just say that.
Well, let me ask you that question. So how tall are you, Kerry?
6'1"-ish.
6'1", and how tall are you, Lewis?
6'7".
He's got a good jump on him, let's just say that. And I've got half a foot to make up, so... I've got to get that back somehow.
This is fascinating, though, because that is a big height difference. And I know that Tracy Neville said before the Commonwealth Games semi-final against Jamaica in 2018, of course, they've got Janelle Fowler, who's, I think, around about like 6 foot five. So she got Jeeva Mentor's brother in, Raoul, who plays basketball, as a test before that game. And it obviously really helps. So there's going to be things, Kerry, that you can take from this into the Super League.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that ourselves, actually. We had a basketballer in who was 6'10". I think he was. He used to play for Manchester Giants. I think he actually played in the mixed tournament. David Tintin.
Tintin, yeah.
We had him in. I couldn't stop that at all because he's, you know, 10 inches taller than me and he's got a ridiculous jump. So I think when you come up against a shooter, like, you've got to win the ball further up the court. That's the main thing. And that's your kind of game plan, is how you shut it down further forward. When you're in against someone that is so much taller than you, there's only so much you can do. I can only jump so high. So I'm only going to be able to get my hands on balls that are not the best placed. And that's, you know, but that's part of netball.
To add to that, though, I mean, what Kerry was saying about the coaching from an early age and bringing people through and understanding what ball should be thrown when, and as a defender and as an attacker, understanding your positioning within the circle and what is the best hold, etc. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we don't have as much of. And I feel like that, you know, within Rise Again, those elements will come to the fore, especially when people get tired towards the end of games, etc. And you see those technical elements that are so important to the game shine through, as it were.
Now, look, I will be honest with you. People have said to me, oh, come on, you don't want the men to win, though. You know, imagine if it was an all-male final. That would just be, you know, awful. And I was like, I'm not sure I agree with that. Obviously, I want to see a mix in the final. But I liked what Tamsin Greenway said. So she said, growing the men's game shouldn't be seen as a threat and we shouldn't be fearful of men beating women. You know, it's about how it helps the game overall. And at the moment, as we've just talked about, you can sort of balance in different areas. Would you agree with that? What do you think about men winning all the time?
I agree with Tamsin on that. I think it's definitely something that we shouldn't be scared of. It. If we want to grow the game, that's where we've got to go to. And it'll be what it'll be. It's going to be about the best teams on the day. And if that comes down to it, that it's Knights and Spartans, then it's Knights and Spartans. It's a team sport. It's who performs better on the day. If it's Knights, great, it's Knights. If it's us, it's great. It's obviously we want to win, but you know, if you don't perform on the day, then it's all about who does, basically.
Knights, we're going to go out and put the performances in that we want to, and try and push as hard as we can for that win. Of course, it's a tournament, everybody wants to win, right? But we also know the caliber of the opposition we're up against. You know, it's incredibly high standard, and we're not full-time athletes. You know, we all have our own things and own jobs, etc., and limited training and all of that stuff. But ultimately, all you have to do is look at New Zealand and look at the Cadbury series over there, and look at the New Zealand team before the World Cup beating the men's team at their full strength, you know, with 7-footers at either end of the court. You know, it's eminently doable. The training from an early age, the access to resources, and the way that the structure of the game is, it makes it a very level playing field. It definitely feels pretty level when we're playing at the moment. So, yeah.
And do you think it's useful being a man in a woman's world of sport? You know, what have you learnt? Because the shoe is often on the other foot.
The aim for us is not to be a man in the women's world of sport. I mean, we're not playing these fixtures because that's the end goal for us. You know, we're playing these fixtures because we're lucky enough to be invited to play at an extremely high level. The end goal is to have our own men's league and players, you know, play that league through and have our own men's tournaments that support netball as a whole, and we all progress together and have a mixed league as well. And they're three separate entities, as it were, and they all move forwards. But we haven't had the opposition there over the last 3 years to be able to do that, and the sport is growing, and now we are really getting to that point. You know, we're discussing leagues, national leagues. We had our first men's nationals and mixed nationals last year in August. It's starting to not feel like a man in a women's world now. It's starting to feel just like another element of netball, and it's progressing really well. I mean, and in the early days, yeah, it felt like that a bit, but we knew we had a goal and we knew we had somewhere to go to, and we knew people loved the sport no matter what gender they were, and they would get involved. So it's only a matter of time.
And maybe there's no bad thing in that, in learning from that as well, and sort of finding ways to put the sport out there to different audiences, because that can reflect in football and in cricket as well. I think there's a lot of learning to be had there. I certainly feel as a commentator that when people say to me, oh, I don't watch, you know, no, that's not for me. I say, just watch one, because it is such a brilliant spectator sport to watch. And there is going to be a men's England team, I think.
Yeah, well, we did start the process before lockdown. And we got into our trials, and we'd held one up in Leeds and one down in London, and we kind of got through the opening stages. And we came out of lockdown, and we'd had some more teams pop up, and our first thing was to kind of put nationals together and see what the state of netball was, and encourage more people to play so they had a tournament to aim for. But now, you know, the partnership with England Netball has taken place, and you know, early next year we may see some more trials starting up again for a men's and mixed England team, which would be fantastic to see. And I think that the thing about that is, it at the moment we have club level, and you progress as far as you can within club level, and you work to be part of those first teams in that club level. But as soon as you give somebody a higher goal above that, you know, it pushes them on even further. And you know, I always wanted to be a sports person. I never really focused on one specific sport until I was about 26, 27. Started to get into netball and really kind of gave it some focus. And then I realised there was an opportunity to play for England. And that was one of the things that spurred me on more than anything, like, is to play for my country. I think in terms of transferring players over from other sports into netball, giving them that opportunity to play at that high standard, going to World Cups, attending tours overseas, all of this stuff is just absolutely key in terms of us progressing forwards with the men's game.
It's very interesting to hear. Kerry, would you pay for an England mixed team? I'd like to see that.
Do you know what? I probably would if, you know, when I do retire again, if the knees are still going and all the rest of my joints are still working, then yeah, because I think I would always continue playing at some level. You know, even when I stopped playing Super League, I was still playing Prem, and I even rolled up to local league for Debbie's team a couple of times.
imagine that. Oh my word, imagine seeing Kerry Armand step onto court. I'd be like, I'm just gonna go home.
Yeah. I know. Well, to be honest, she was like, oh, will you play for my team? I was like, yeah, as long as I don't have to play keeper. I would never completely stop playing. We always like to joke and say that I'll play walking netball at some point in my life, which I probably will do in about 5 years. But yeah, I think if it's an opportunity, then why not? If it's something else that some girls can strive to, because and obviously the men as well, I think, but from my point of view, if you are not in the pathways for the roses and you're not quite at that level, then you still want to represent your country, then why not? Because it's the ultimate honor. There is no higher honor than stepping out on court in whatever sport it might be, in your national colours, hearing your national anthem. I know the couple of times that I got to do it, I was just stood there like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Because it was so emotional and you can see it in the faces. So yeah, it's the ultimate honour. So it's something that's incredibly important. And I think to have that progression available in whatever, you know, whatever side of whatever sport it might be, it's a big thing.
Yeah, wonderful. I agree. Now, I usually do, Lewis, a quickfire round with the guest that comes on to Thundercast. But because you two have got an existing rivalry, I've decided to write you a quiz instead.
Oh, God.
So we're going to see how this goes.
Oh, great.
On Zoom.
Oh, no.
So here we go. It's head-to-head time. And the first person to answer this question has to be Lewis. How many times have Manchester Thunder won the Netball Super League?
Three.
Kerry?
Yep. Damn it.
Three. Excited hand waving on Zoom there. In feet, how high is the netball post? Kerry?
Three. Oh, in feet. I was going to say metres then. Crikey. 10.
And Lewis?
10. Yeah.
Yes. Very good. The answer is 10. In a standard Super League game, how long is the half-time break? Lewis?
6 minutes.
I think it's 12, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yep.
The answer is 12 minutes. 12 minutes.
God, I'm so far off.
Okay, who are the current Netball World Champions? Who are the current Netball World Champions? Lewis.
New Zealand.
Correct. And Kerry, who are currently ranked place number one in the world right now?
I feel like it's still Australia.
You're right. Okay, here we go. How many adult men regularly play in either a men's or mixed netball legal game across the country? Closest number, we're going to start with Kerry. How many men?
I have no idea. I'm just going to say 10,000 because I have no idea.
Okay, and Lewis?
I think the latest stats are 20,000.
Almost 20,000, you're right.
There you go.
Well done, double that number. What about pre-pandemic, because that's the stats I could get, how many women played netball fortnightly, Lewis?
Oh, I'm trying to think of it. Was it 300,000?
I was going to say more like a million.
It was 300,000.
There you go.
You are absolutely right. Played fortnightly. Yes, well done. What year was netball included in the Commonwealth Games for the first time? Kerry?
1998. Was it Kuala Lumpur? And England won bronze.
You've actually taken two of my questions out there.
Oh, sorry.
You know,
I remember
it was 1998 and Kuala Lumpur. Very good.
I'm so glad you answered that one. I would have no idea.
I was going to say, did Lewis know that? Did he?
No, I had no idea. Yeah.
If Manchester Thunder and Knights meet in the Rise Again Festival, what will the score be?
Well, what was the last score in our first match, Kerry? Do you remember?
I have no idea. I can't remember what I did yesterday, never mind 3 years ago.
So you guys beat us by 16 points in that first game, and then you went on to win the Super League, and that was our first ever game against a VSL team. And we were feeling, you know, like we've done okay, and like, you know, and then you went, and then straight after our game, you played against Loughborough Lightning and you beat them 14
points. Did.
Literally,
we did.
Literally straight afterwards, like rolled into the next game and beat them by 14. So we didn't feel so bad then. Like.
So come on, dudes. I need some predictions here. So,
so it's 8 minute course.
Yeah, go on, Kerry.
So 32 minutes. It's not a whole heap of time. I think it's going to be close, you know. I think we will win by 10.
Yeah, I'll go with Kerry, and then you know, if it's not, then I'll look okay.
I don't know if that's going to instill confidence in your team, Lewis. You got to go back, going, yeah, we're going to smash it.
No. It's like, you know, the underdog story. Just keep it on the low, and then you know, we'll see. I'm always confident that we'll do well against any team, but you know, Manchester Thunder are a hell of a prospect, so. Yeah, it'll be great if we do get that match up. It'll be fantastic to do.
Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the quiz listening along and that you got all the answers right. With all the sensible questions, it was 4-4 until I started asking you about scores and stuff. And that's where we're going to leave it, a lovely draw, because, you know, we're heading into Rise Again. We're saying level playing field. Let's see what happens. My final question, though, is why is netball, short answer, the best game on the planet? Kerry?
I'm going to go back to what Lewis said before about it being the ultimate team sport. And it's, for me, I think it is the most inclusive sport that's around.
To add to those points, because that's exactly what I would have said, but just the netball community as well. I mean, everybody talks about the netball family, and it really is. I mean, as an outsider a few years ago, stepping into it, we've been embraced completely. So, yeah, fantastic.
Well, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to hear. And, you know, if you've got any thoughts or questions about Thundercast, you can always get in touch with me. I'm Lindsay_Chapman on Twitter. I'm Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram. Just use the hashtag Thundercast or @Thundercast. I would absolutely love to hear you. But I have to say, Lewis and Kerry, I found that such an interesting chat. And I think it's really nice to have spoken to you both ahead of Rise Again and to see your little rivalry that's going on there. But, you know, I hope you have a fab weekend, because, as you say, it is a showcase for the sport. Do you have one final word before you meet up on court, fingers crossed?
Do you know, I just think that we just keep going back to how brilliant it is to see, you know, the men playing the game and the improvements, and to show the men out there that, you know, it is absolutely possible to be involved in netball at the top level, at, you know, whether it's as a player, as a coach. Come along this weekend, see all the, you know, the Super League teams, but also, you know, get to check out the men and see what the men's netball side of things is all about as well, and see their really funky kits, because they've got some cracking kits as well, which is a small point, but it's brilliant.
It's going to be a fantastic event. We were so lucky to be invited to it. You know, when it was announced that there'd be 12 teams in it, and I had people left, right and centre coming and guessing that it might be us, and I had to keep it all under wraps was already interesting. But no, it's going to be a fantastic event. Like, do get down if you can, and or sign up via the streaming links, because, you know, fantastic to have that available. You know, it hasn't always been available that we can see this, that visibility within netball, and now that we're getting it, we should make use of it and really back it.
Well, look, Kerry, look out for those fancy kits, and Lewis, look out for the infamous eye roll, because I promise you, it will be there. Thank you so much to Kerry and to Lewis for joining me, and of course to you for listening. Enjoy Rise again. It's going to be brilliant, and I'll see you on the other side.